NASA has chosen two contractors to build new capsules and ferry astronauts to the International Space Station. The larger of the two awards, $4.2 billion, went to Boeing. Now, the first launch is scheduled for 2017, and for more on the contract and the next steps, we turn to Chris Ferguson, Director of Crew and Mission Systems for Boeing's Commercial Crew Program. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
All right. So tell us what it is that Boeing is going to do. Are you building a capsule? Are you building a service or both?
Well, actually both, Tom, I guess. But we'll build a crewed vehicle that will launch atop an Atlas V launcher. It's a commercial launcher that's been in service for about 10 years. We'll ferry four astronauts to the International Space Station, where we'll remain docked for approximately 6 months, and then bring them home. And then we process the vehicle, we turn it around, and do it again. So therein sort of lies the service side of it.
Okay, so this capsule, is it something that exists yet, or do you have to design it, or do you have to adapt something that's already been flying around?
No, we'll essentially develop it, design it, and build it. The launcher exists already. Like I said, that's been in service for a while, but we're at a phase of our design called critical design review, where essentially the design work is done. And with the award of this recent contract, we're enabled to go out and actually do the bending of metal and constructing the vehicle.
Yeah, what are they made out of, these things? Is it aluminum?
It's basically aluminum. It's aircraft grade aluminum, and of course, there's some exotic substances we carry. Some of the propellants are corrosive, but the material isn't that much unlike the constituents of an airliner.
So tell us how this whole process works. You have designers, and you're going to be doing this in Florida, I believe. So are NASA people kind of on site with you at all times while you're doing your work?
Well, that's the interesting aspect of this particular contract. Of course, NASA's been building spacecraft for over 50 years, but they to themselves were the prime contractor, and they subbed out various elements of it to very familiar roles. You know, whether it was Rockwell International at the time, or Boeing, or General Dynamics. But now Boeing is actually the lead contractor with NASA Insight. So the requirements are a little bit looser than they've been with previous spacecraft development, and it gives the contractor the ability to sort of be innovative in design for cost and for safety. So we don't receive day-to-day direction from NASA, but of course they have insight into our operation and they watch what we're doing day-to-day. And you had mentioned that there's a certain amount of competition that's still going on, and that NASA selected two competitors. So they'll get to pick and choose amongst the two for various service missions that begin, like you said, in 2017.
So what about the astronauts themselves, the people that are going to sit in this thing? And most, well, I guess there's a crew chief, but the rest might be scientists that aren't really fly people. So do they have any say in what happens inside of the capsule itself?
That's a good question. The way NASA has laid this out for themselves is there'll be a commander of the vehicle, and then, like you said, there'll likely be payload specialists, scientists that know the basic sort of safety aspect of what it takes to how to react in an emergency, how to do sort of those day-to-day functions that makes life happy aboard a spacecraft until you arrive at the International Space Station. But not everybody needs to know the inner workings. So you can think about it. It's like a taxi driver and passengers in a car.
All right. And I've seen, pictures and mock-ups of the insides of some of the earlier spacecraft. What have we learned in 30, 40 years of space flight? I guess closer to 50 years now, really, from about ergonomics and comfort and human support that maybe they didn't realize back in the 1960s and 70s.
Well, we've learned an awful lot, of course. We've been through generations of spacecraft, beginning back in Mercury and ending most recently with the space shuttle. One of the things we've really learned a lot about is how to protect people, how to keep astronauts safe. You know, of course, in the early days, nobody really knew exactly how safe this business would be. But we figure, or we look at the way that we've configured our architecture, launching on a proven rocket on an Atlas V, and also there's an escape system that the astronauts are able to utilize during ascent, the most dynamic phase of flight, that they could actually eject themselves away from, a rocket that was perhaps disintegrating beneath them. So it's more not so much the creature comforts of spaceflight, but it's how to protect astronauts, keep them safe, and provide them with alternatives in the event, some of that complex machinery fails on them.
We're speaking with Chris Ferguson. He's director of crew and mission systems for Boeing's commercial crew program. Now, this vehicle that you're building will also have its own propulsion ability because eventually it'll, I guess, leave behind the main rocket and steer its way to the space station, correct?
Yes. Shortly after ascent, which only takes about 8 minutes to get you into orbit, we'll jettison the first and the second stages, and then we'll have attached to the crew vehicle, which is doesn't look too much unlike an Apollo spacecraft, if you can recall those. There's a service module that has propellant and services that will, and the rocket engines, as you said, the thrusters that enable us to maneuver on orbit and navigate our way to the International Space Station. And then before deorbiting, when we're all done 6 months later, we'll jettison the service module part and just reenter in the capsule.
And so this thing is, it can't be any bigger around than an Atlas rocket, correct? So roughly how big is it? Like the size of a Volkswagen?
Probably a little bit bigger. There's enough room for up to seven to sit comfortably inside. But then again, it's not a mobile home, so you don't have an enormous amount of volume around to float. But we only spend a short period of time in there. From the time we launch till the time we dock with the space station, ideally, it's not more than about 6 hours. It could be up to 24 hours. So you can think of it more of just a transportation vehicle than something you have to live in for several days.
So you can get to the space station under the right orbit conditions faster than you can get to the West Coast?
Yes, you could look at it that way.
All right. Yeah, well, I think I'd rather go to the West Coast, to be honest with you. Now, this thing will sit attached to the space station, as you say, for 6 months. What about what kinds of considerations are there while it's sitting there that could harm it or deteriorate it while it's just kind of floating in space?
Actually, the fact that it's sitting there is part of the design. Like any ocean liner, right, there are lifeboats. Well, the space station is not really unlike a spaceship, where in the event you have a problem, you want a lifeboat to take you away. So while it's sitting there awaiting, to take the astronauts home after 6 months, it also serves as a ready lifeboat. We could power it up and get the crew back inside and bring them back to Earth within 24 hours of something, whether it's a medical emergency or there's some major malfunction. So it sits there sort of lying in wait. And then, of course, 6 months later, we just power it up. It won't, there'll be some, sort of keep alive systems. There'll be a fan and a filter and some self-monitoring systems that keep tabs on it, on the spacecraft as it waits. But really, we don't do too much to it. Come back in 6 months, turn it on, and 4 hours later, we'll detach and deorbit.
So are these things tested in space before people go in them? Because that's an expensive proposition to fly it up empty and bring it back.
Yes, they are. So we'll have the way that the Boeing design test program is, we'll have several tests on the ground. We'll test it as thorough as we can in a 1G environment. But then sort of that preparatory rehearsal for a crewed flight will be what we call our orbital flight test, which will be an unmanned test of the vehicle. Ideally, it launches, performs its normal mission autonomously, and we can take it all the way to the space station. So we'll have a chance to look at it from beginning to end before we ever put a human life on there.
And are the seats leather, vinyl, or some other material?
That's a great question, Tom. I haven't quite picked them out yet. I would imagine, the structure of the seat will be aluminum, but Boeing is a company that's been in the commercial plane business for a long time. I imagine we'll probably put a personal flair there.
All right, so it'll be about roughly the comfort level of a coach airliner seat, say, in the back end of a Dreamliner.
Except you'll be laying on your back for the important part of the mission, yes.
All right. Well, Chris Ferguson is Director of Crew and Mission Systems for Boeing's Commercial Crew Program. Thanks so much for joining me.
Sure, Tom.